The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Yeah.
This is the thing with the old Scots. They always have a great line that I pick up every time and forget.
Yeah.
What they're after.
When you look like this, Wonger, you have to have a sense of humor, pal.
I was going to say, you're 86 years old. You played with everybody.
we're off to Mexico on Saturday morning.
Oh, that's right.
And I feel 86. I threw my back out yesterday.
Oh, no.
I'm getting too old for this coaching shit. So it's all good. It's all good. I'll suffer through, I can imagine.
They'll probably understand you down there.
Oh, yeah. You understand Cerveza. That's all I care.
If you're listening in right now, you're listening to Colin Miller, who, along with his sidekick, I shouldn't say sidekick, his partner, Asa Rahman, is here. Also at Footy Prime, Amy Dubs Walsh, Craig Forrest, and Jimmy Brennan making the move to talk about, of course, the West Side, the West Coast, best story in MLS, best story in Canadian soccer this year, I would argue. And we're talking San Diego. Maybe a new pitch getting
Wonger.
Laid. We're going to have to, yes.
San Diego.
Sorry. Thanks, Amy. Fellas, excited. We did a full show. This whole week has been basically devoted towards the Vancouver Whitecaps. Great interview, even though I wasn't on it, with Sebastian Bearhalter. So please lean into that, everyone. And Asa, Colin, thanks for joining us. What, Asa, who's playing, who's not, who's hurt, where's Blackman at? You give us the update. Colin, we're going to lean into you and Craig and Jimmy and Amy about all the other things soccer-wise. So, Asa, you go first. Where are we at with what's the latest going on around the pitch and in the locker room?
Yeah, let's go with the health and status update. So the back line decimated once again. Hasn't seemed to be an issue, though, for the Whitecaps so far this season, but Blackman unavailable because of suspension with the red card at the weekend. And Bilal Halbouni, he's out. That much we know. Still waiting for test results to get the confirmation on what exactly the injury is, but a knee injury and unavailable for this weekend. The players that they brought
in.
Did you
say I'm available?
You're next. Me?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Available if needed. Bilal Halbouni out. But the players that they brought in the summer, available and healthy. I think Yudrik Pupa is the one that's being talked about, potentially could see some minutes in this game. And then you have Laborda available. Tate Johnson didn't feature in that last game. And we've seen him perform at a high level all season long at that left back position. So wouldn't be surprised to see him potentially start in this game. And then, yeah, the two players in the middle of the park, no questions about them. Kubas and Berhalter, healthy, should be good to go for this game. And then the attacking for Thomas Muller, I know some people were wondering about him. We got to see him at training on Tuesday. He was just doing his jogging on his own just kind of quickly asked him how he's feeling. He said, good, no problem. Maybe just a little bit sore, but good to go. So no questions around Thomas Muller. And then Ryan Gault just announced that he was baby. So that's pretty exciting. And he's fit and ready to go as well. I expect to probably see him coming off the bench. But from what we saw last week, and I'm curious to see how much time he gets. We've seen him kind of come in the 70th minute mark for the last 20 minutes or so, but he put in that extra time as well, which is great to see. And then seeing him come off the pitch and, you know, contribute the way he did in penalties, a good sign as well. So maybe we see a little bit more of Ryan Gault in this game. And then Brian White's looking good as well at training. So it's nice to see him get those minutes and hopefully can contribute a little bit more in this next game.
Did I miss anyone? No, I think you mentioned everybody.
Very comprehensive, Asa. Thank you. Bravo.
That's right.
Greg Forrest. Thanks for coming. See you later.
That's it. When do they leave? When do they jump on the flight? I don't know any of their travel. Like, when do they arrive in San Diego?
Yeah, they'll be leaving Friday afternoon, which is their usual schedule. So nothing's different here. They like to get to the away destination by around dinner time. And I think that's going to be the case here once again. So they'll do like a light session Friday morning and then leave from there in the afternoon and then get there for dinner. And that's been the routine all season long.
Last week when we did the preview, Colin told all of the LAFC fans how they should beat the Vancouver Whitecaps. So what concerns you most this week, Colin, as you give the opponents all the great info?
Well, I'd say Andres Dreyer for sure. If he is, I think on his day, is one of the best in the MLS. You know, he's a genuine difference maker. I know Jesper Sorensen rates him very, very highly. There's a big Danish influence at San Diego, is it, Amy?
That's correct, Colin. Thank you for playing along.
He's a story of my career there. But I think if you can keep Dreyer quiet, Pellegrino scored a couple of cracking goals as well in the Portland game. But, I think... Their attack. I mean, they came into Vancouver earlier on in the season, Asa, and they beat us 5-3, I think it was the score. And I was so impressed with San Diego that day. It was, get it wrong. Sorry, Walsh.
You don't have to keep playing along. Don't worry.
From all the San Diegos and San Diego people. And I was so impressed with them that day. I thought they dominated. They really, really looked like a side that enjoyed how they were playing. There was a system. They had the quality in Dreyer also, and you know, it's like a new franchise. You expect the bubble to burst at some point during the course of the season, or at least hit a bit of a wobble, and they haven't done that. They've been very, very consistent. They've been very good, from goalkeeper through to the strikers. There's just a consistency in how you play and how they play, and I think when you have that, you have a chance to win games. It's teams that chop and change and chop and change. But even looking at the last couple of games, there's a real consistency in how they've played. That hasn't been the case with the Whitecaps recently because of the injuries that we've picked up, and still managed to do it. You know, it's a fabulous final. It's two teams that deserve to be in the final for sure. And I'll be watching it in Mexico, as you can imagine, just as we arrive there. But I'm excited about it. But I think, like most teams in the MLS, there's a weakness in their back four, and I see a weakness between the two centre backs here, Mackay and Dua. I think there's a mistake in there for sure. Both fullbacks want to join in. There's a consistency there with them, but I see the two centre backs being a bit of a weakness. So if we can get the ball forward early, into, if it's Brian White who's fit and available to go. One of my keys, I'm going to give them, even though I did my keys, our big players have to turn up on Saturday. They have to do well. So Thomas Muller has to be involved. We're losing Tristan Blackman, who was very important for the Whitecaps all season long. We have to change the back four again. And I'm wondering whether it would be Laborda, Asa, that will slot in beside Ralph Priso, and Tate Johnson comes in. Right back Ocampo has been terrific all season for the Whitecaps. So that wouldn't be the first time that back four has played together as well. So they've had the chance. But from the central midfield area, Asa nailed it there with the two, for me, the best in the league at what they do, with Berhalter and Kubas. There's nobody comes near them. I just think they're two really, really good players that complement each other and complement the style that Jesper Sorensen has. And Sabi's been great for us, so dangerous. Ali Ahmed, as I said, you don't know whether to tackle him or take him out for dinner on the other side. And Thomas Muller pulling the strings for us, and Brian White up front. I think it's a very strong lineup, but the back four concerns me a little bit, just because we're taking a lot of experience out of the team again.
I was going to ask you about the back four and how concerned you are with that being shaken up like it is. I mean, I know San Diego certainly looking a little bit weak in that department, but how concerned are you about the back line for Vancouver?
Yeah, we've said it before, Asa, haven't we? Where there's been changes, Stacks, to the side, and there's been a very, very young, relatively inexperienced back four at times for the Whitecaps. You know, you've got Ocampo to start away, who's a young lad, and right back, and Tate Johnson, who's just come from university football, with the greatest respect, and has come in, and it looks like he's been a professional all of his days. Mm-hmm. But then the two central centre-back areas, we've chopped and changed that consistently all season long. I don't think Jesper's had his full selection the whole season long. And the team, Stacks, hasn't skipped a beat. The guys have come in. So it's the work that you do in the training ground. And you can work back fours, you can do all that. But even in your small-sided games, you're still coaching those same principles all the time. And these guys understand that when they go across the white line, there's a job that they have to do. And I love the line that Jesper Sorensen said, where he wants his players to be brave, and they've shown no fear at all, the Whitecaps, this season.
Would you be worried, though, if Tate Johnson comes in? Now, Tate Johnson, for me, I like him as a left back, and I mean, I think he surprised an awful lot of us this season, just how good he is, but still very, very young. Now, he comes in at that left back position. He's 5'8". Laborda's 6'. You're losing that height now in that center back position. Would that worry you a little bit? I mean, you're looking at that. Jodrick is a Poupe. He's 6'3". Yeah. He's 28. Yeah. He's got experience. Do you think that he'd be able to handle that situation?
I think he would, Jimmy boy. But I think the fact that he hasn't played much football, he's coming into a cup final, and he's hardly kicked the ball since he's been with us, Asa, to be honest with you. So that's the only concern. There's no doubt about the lad's ability. You're hoping that his experience, Jimmy, would get him through the game. Moving Laborda into that centre-back area, he's one of the best in the league in the air. He's the most unassuming guy that you would ever imagine, because he's been such a threat. And either him or Brian White are winning headers in both boxes all the time. But Laborda playing at centre-back is not a concern for me in the air. Tate Johnson at the back post area. I mean, I'm the height of a fire hydrant, and I played left-back. and if you're good in the air and you're competitive and you're brave, you'll get away with it. But it is a threat if you're playing against a jolly green guy.
Of course. You're making a lot of points.
I see the point. Asa mentioned Poupe. He has either play about 10 or 15 minutes, I think maybe at the tail end of the season, Asa, but he's been available, guys, and Jesper Sorensen hasn't put him into the team. Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing. It's a compliment to Ralph Priestel for sure, how Ralph has been playing. And then whoever is playing beside Ralph, by the looks of it, that's where the gray area would be.
Yeah, I think it's crazy to sit here and honestly say that Ralph Priestel is probably one of the first names on the team sheet as a center back, you know, because he's had so many other people kind of come into these spots, and Priestel is the first one that comes to mind. He's done an incredible job in that area. And then, Jimmy, to your point about, the height in the back line, I wonder if this matchup actually serves him well, as far as they're not dealing with the Benteke up there. They're not going to be heaving it long. Like, San Diego wants to keep it on the deck and knock it about. So maybe that suits Laborda and Priso and Tate Johnson. And then as Colin mentioned, on the set pieces, you have Laborda jumps higher than anybody else out there. And you got Brian White helping out as well, Thomas Muller as well on set pieces. So maybe that helps him in those areas.
And I was going to ask you, Asa, like speaking about Tate Johnson and why maybe Sorensen is more inclined to go with him. Because like the confidence that he has, I think it's all also looking at Schuster and the way that he's constructed the roster. Sorensen's brought in. Of course, you can't be expected to be dealt this hand where it's the next man up mentality. You've had to suffer through so many challenges, so many injuries. But I think there's a confidence that Sorensen has instilled in the roster in these players where they're highly confident, like a Priso adapting and playing center back for the first time in his career and doing so at a brilliant level, doing so admirably. But the players have this almost like they're brimming with confidence doing it because there's a clarity about the principles and the way that they're playing. So it's almost like, yes, it's been an exercise and challenges over the course of the season, but the players are well equipped to meet the challenges because they're so well coached.
Yeah, the coaching's been incredible. The attention to detail, the instruction that they're getting. I think Jan Michaelsen deserves a shout as well. So he was he's the assistant coach here. The only assistant coach that Jesper Sorensen brought in. So he inherited most of the staff here, Yusuf Daha, like the rest of the coaching staff here with the Vancouver Whitecaps. And they brought in Jan Michaelsen. I assume that they had coached together. They had this relationship where they kind of grew up together and understood each other. Never coached together before. Just met through coaching clinics, essentially, through certification. And Jesper Sorensen has just so much respect for him. Said, you want to take on this project? I love what you do defensively and the way you get everybody organized. And that's the first thing that stands out if you go to any of these Whitecaps trainings is how Jan Michaelsen deals with the defense back four. The keeper as well is so so deliberate in how he wants to play out the back, but also defend and the lines that they want to create defensively, the way they want to press. He just goes over and over it with the group. And I think that's a big part of the success that we're seeing so far this season and kind of goes under the radar. Don't hear many people talking about it, but I think a big reason why they're so strong defensively is because what he does with the back four in particular.
Takaoka, correct?
Nailed it.
Did it, Wonger. You did it.
All right. All right. Steve Roger Tapioca, the keeper for the... Craig, Jimmy, Colin, Amy, where our friend Asa wrote a great piece for Global BC on Takaoka. He has, I mean, other than, and I don't think anyone could have stopped that goal from Sun. He really is someone who changes the game with his feet. I just want to, can we talk about that? Like having a keeper that can be so direct with the ball and move it in the way that you want it to. How does that change any offensive play or defensive play that can turn offensive so quickly? Colin, if you can go first. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Craig.
No, go ahead, Colin.
We're good goalkeeper royalty here with the big man. But
yeah, but he didn't have good feet like Takaoka.
Jeez, oh, they're better than mine, I can assure you.
What did you call Colin's, like the way his ability to strike the ball the other day, Forrest? He called it a
scud. Your nickname is scud, remember that?
Yeah. Not too many keepers enjoyed me shooting on them, that's for sure. But I enjoyed hitting the ball. But I actually, Wonger, when it's interesting you bring that up, because I said on air that I was a bit concerned about Takaoka's starting position. I thought that he was maybe, Craig will correct me here, but I thought he was maybe a step too far to his left because it gave the camera angle. We got it just before he was about to shoot, and I said, there's a lot of the goal to hit here. Now, I mean, Son hits it very, very well, obviously, and Takaoka, I think, gets a touch to it. I might be wrong, but I think he gets a touch to it. But I think if his starting position is a step to his right, I think he gets it. I think he saves it. So we're Ace and I have been raving about him all season long, but there is that weakness, as I said last week, or whatever it was we were back on, in crosses, coming for crosses. That's his biggest weakness and maybe why he hasn't played for Japan, to be honest with you, because with the ball at his feet, I tell you what, he's an 11th outfield player. He is that good and that consistent. And you know, the range of passing that he has is just like as good as any outfield player with his right foot or his left foot. He's been really good for the Whitecaps this season. He's made some good saves for us as well. And one of the reasons why the team has that stability is because Yohei has been so consistent.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And, you know, to be really critical of him for the goal against Sun, you could say that he was definitely like giving him and say, listen, if you can put it over the wall in that corner, I'll give you that. But I'm not going to concede on this side of the net. And he was, you know, and sometimes you do that as a goalkeeper. You can find yourself a little bit like, I just don't want to get beat on the side that I'm supposed to be protecting, and it's going to take one hell of a set piece to beat me.
Yes,
and it was. Let's be fair. It was you know, top class. But yeah, with the ball at his feet and his range, I mean, AC, you nailed it when you talked about him before the game last week. And then he puts that ball forward for the goal, for the opening, the opening goal, right? I mean,
I lost my shit.
It was amazing.
It feels like it was one of those moments where we have seen it and talked about it, and then for it to come off and then actually result in a goal, because I think so many of those keep the other side, there's a save or, you know, it isn't a goal, so it isn't a highlight, essentially. So the fact that it went in, I was like, fuck yeah. Like,
yeah.
You got it. You got the assist, right? So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's and some defenses, as I said last week, guys, were they haven't adjusted to his range of passing. They don't realize that the big fella can smash a ball with such accuracy. That, you know, it's not a fluke, that pass last week, Craig. No. It's not a fluke that we've seen him play over the top of defenders for Ali Ahmed to run in. It's been a part of a ploy for a few years, actually, for the Whitecaps. You know, as soon as we win it, there's a break coming forward, and you know, because of his consistency, that he nails that pass 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, and it's a concern for the teams that are playing against him, because, you know, like teams that play against Man City and the likes of Ederson in goal, that has that range that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You want to press, but you've also got that outlet that he can actually ping and put players in, like Ederson did with like Aguero on several occasions.
Yeah,
and that's quite a weapon to have.
Yeah, it's difficult for the back line as well, isn't it? When you know that a keeper has a bit of time, bit of space, it's hard to get your line up quick, because you're thinking, you're more or less standing sideways, aren't you? Thinking, okay, I've got to make sure I'm ready, because any second now he's going to play that ball over top.
Yeah, so, and with forwards with some pace, you're gonna cause some troubles.
Yeah, the manager's trying to get the back four up, and you know, by the way, he's going to smash this over my head. Yeah. I'm going to get some whip it here, and I'm under pressure right away.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Asa, I know you went through kind of very comprehensively, like hats off to you at the beginning, just going through that 11 or that projected 11. You did not. I'm not raking over the coals.
She's braining you. She's saying that.
And then thinking about somebody like Brian White, but he's not the only one. You mentioned Ryan Gauldin there as well. But do you think that these guys, given the fact that they played 120 minutes, they went to penalties, and I know they had to defend, you know, like they're missing two players given that injury at the end, they're well set up, I think, mentally to be up against anything that San Diego throws at them. But do you think fitness-wise, can Sorensen, even though he's missing a couple of key players, Blackman being the major one at the back, like are they all fit to go as long as he wants them to?
Yeah, good question. I think the extra 2 days helps, right? Like if they did that on Monday night, more of a concern, because they had the full Sunday, Monday off, Tuesday was light, and then start ramping things up again from there. So I think that they're feeling pretty good, but it was nice to have those extra couple days. So you have the full week between games. And I think that was honestly the situation with Thomas Muller. It's just logging all those minutes in a match like that, definitely can take its toll. And Jesper Sorensen told us as well that, you know, Ryan Gauld has not played that much in months as well since the injury. That's the most as he's played in a game. And it was great to see him kind of survive that and not show any ailing effects from playing that much in that game with the knee injury that he's coming back from. So I think that they're all feeling pretty good in the extra couple of days rest. Should help them. And I think at this stage too, you're going to be playing with some pain, right? And everyone knows that. And that goes for everyone that's playing in this competition or on both sides of things. So they're going to be, sore and tired at some points, but having a full week between games helps.
Is there any updates, Colin or Asa, on the pitch down there? Because I'm hearing it's going to be replaced.
Yeah, I heard that as well. And that would be a concern, right? Because how's that going to hold up? It looked awful on Monday. There's no other way to put it. And it obviously impacted the game. I think it favored Minnesota in that situation where they wanted it to be ugly, sat behind the ball, and were looking to hit on the counter. And it probably frustrated the home team in San Diego there. So curious to see, how that thing holds up. But I guess replacing it's probably better than what they were playing on Monday.
And I think the fact that all you could see was American football lines on it, but it actually looked like a mouse, to be honest with you. It was a really poor advert. I thought we'd gone past those days, to be honest with you, where you see American football lines on a football pitch. So I thought it was poor. But Amy, just to go back to your point about the fitness level, we've mentioned quite a few times on the broadcast how fit the Whitecaps are, and how, you know, going into, the guys will know, and yourself will know, going into very warm, humid climates, it's not easy to play. And this team hasn't, again, skipped a beat. They've just kept going, kept going, kept going. I think that the sports scientists that the Whitecaps have, the work that they do on their fitness and everything is so detailed that, I don't see fitness being an issue at all. Probably Jesper has been able to have the luxury of giving the guys a day off during the week, whereas San Diego, they may not have had that luxury as well. So that 2 days, Asa, you're right, pal, could make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the keys to success for the Whitecaps is going to be going into this match? I mean, obviously, San Diego at home, they've got a good fan base. You'd expect them to dictate the tempo, control the pace, the rhythm, be on the front foot. But what is it that's going to separate Vancouver in this match?
I think, personally, I think, Jimmy, I'm giving another key. The Whitecaps have got a clear identity. And Jesper Sorensen hasn't changed that identity throughout the course of the season. They switched the system when Thomas Muller came in. But the identity of the team hasn't changed. And I think it's really important, regardless of it being a cup final, that the Whitecaps keep that identity. That's the reason, one of the main reasons why they've been successful, is they haven't changed things, pal. And I think that's going to be really, really important, that they get into the game. Jesper wants them to be on the front foot. He wants them to be brave. He wants them to attack. He wants the guys to have license to go forward and take the reins off them. So I don't see us changing. Ali Ahmed and Sabi, I can only imagine them to start. Thomas Muller's never going to change. And Brian White, we know what he's going to be like. We've got a young right back who wants to attack. We've got a young left back, if that's how he goes. And even if it's Laborda that goes and plays left back, he wants to join in. So I just see us, I use the word brave that Jesper wants from his players. We have to be that way on Saturday. You know, nobody remembers a loser in a final. You have to want to be the difference maker, as opposed to being, and it's easy to say, we've all played the game. It's you don't want to be the one who makes a mistake. That's the mentality. Yeah. A lot of times going into the final, go, shit, I hope I don't do this. Yeah. But we've got the Whitecaps have got to forget that. We've got to go on the front foot. And it's very easy to say, as I mentioned, but don't change your identity. Keep going. Keep doing what's caused you, what's been the biggest reason for you to get there, is that level of consistency.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how the Whitecaps approach this one. Yeah, haven't beaten this team yet this season. I think Jesper really enjoys the chess match, loves to get into the film room and kind of figure out the tactics. So I'm curious to see how he approaches it. I mean, Minnesota could have won that game with the way that they set up. I don't anticipate the Whitecaps sitting back the way Minnesota did, but I do wonder if they maybe kind of drop a little bit more. Whitecaps may be a little naive in the first meeting. You mentioned that game at BC Place where it was a track meet and they were pressing and you saw San Diego just kind of carve right through the Caps on that day with their quick passing. So maybe they're sitting back a little bit more, and I think this game could be won in the midfield. If Berhalter and Kubas, I think, is as good as it gets in this league, as Colin had mentioned. So that's kind of what I'm looking out for in this game. But I think it's going to be a highly entertaining match once again. I mean, we were so excited for the LAFC one, and this is just as good, if not better, best two teams in the Western Conference. So it should be a fun and entertaining one.
Have they talked about the fans? Is there going to be a lot of traveling Whitecaps fans heading down to this match?
Yeah, I know a lot of people got tickets right away, basically, as soon as it was determined. And everyone was rooting for Minnesota. But the second San Diego won, people booked their tickets almost immediately. So I think there will be a lot of traveling supporters. I don't know if they're taking, because I know in the past, the Whitecaps flew out some supporters as well from Southsiders and some loyal fans here. I don't know if that's the case this time, but I know that there will be quite a few traveling supporters here for the Caps.
And they've also opened up BC Place as well.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great.
I think it's $10 a ticket.
To get in. Yeah. Oh, For charity, too? Is it going to be for charity, hopefully?
It is.
Great.
$10 ticket and $30 pints.
No, I think $10 pints as well, Jimmy. Don't worry.
Craig and I were lucky enough to stay up and watch last week's match, but you guys were actually there. And we haven't talked about, like, what was the vibe for you guys calling that match? Because it was perhaps the greatest MLS match I've ever seen. And even Dubs texted me on our dark web, said, Wonger, you stayed up for 90? And I said, I stayed up for the whole thing. Like, it was sensational. What was, I mean, have you ever called a game like that? Was it the best match you guys have been part of for MLS and the Whitecaps?
Well, I can only speak for myself. I said to Ace, it was a privilege to be in the booth with him and be there, because there are occasions that you have in your career, Wonger, where you go, wow, that was absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't have scripted that game. You couldn't have, if you're a producer of a movie or whatever, you couldn't have scripted it any better than how it worked out. You know, and I said, I'm not sure if it was on the show, I thought it would go to extra time and penalties. And that's what I believe, because of how close both teams were. But it had, I mean, Ace and I were in, we lined the pitch and hung the nets. We were in there that early for the game start. But it was fantastic. The gates opened, what was it, 2 hours before the game, Ace, or something like that. And the stadium was half full with an hour to go. You know, people coming in and outside, it was amazing. But even with the headset on, the noise inside the stadium was wonderful. And I've got to say, when Son scored, I just removed one of the ears, and the noise that went up when he scored. So there was a huge, huge following in there for Son as well. But it was from start to finish, two teams having a go at each other. Tristan gets sent off. And you think, okay, the lads just regrouped and they went about their work again. But then with Big Bilal going down the way he went down, and it looked a serious injury, to be honest with you. We said that at the time. We thought, oh, my goodness me. And then all of a sudden they hit the post, they hit the crossbar in the sort of same sequence. You think, wow, it's in the hands of the gods here at the moment. But the penalty kick, even when Son takes his penalty and he rattles the post, you could hear it. You could actually hear the smack when the ball hit the goalpost, but the reception the players got at the end, you know, it just showed you what a great advert it was for football in Canada, certainly in for the Vancouver Whitecaps. You could not have scripted it any better. I'm still at work every night, the Abbotsford Soccer Association, they're still speaking about it. There's so many fans left Abbotsford to get into the game and watched it and loved every minute of it.
Let's hope we can get the final.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chance, right, special, that it goes back to Vancouver for the cup, right?
Rooting for New York against Inter Miami. But going back to that day, unlike anything I've ever been a part of, and as Colin mentioned, just a privilege to be there. And just waiting for the ESPN 30 for 30 or Apple TV documentary on this thing, because it had absolutely everything. And you're right, Colin, like the script writers would have been in disbelief, you know, like, how about we have a Son free kick wonder goal at this point? No, not a chance to tie it up here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Letterboxed, you know, on the, or postage stamp on that net. Like, it was incredible. And then you have the triple post or crossbar situation. It was ridiculous. Finishing with nine men, just kind of hobbling around all over the pitch to ensure that thing goes to penalties. Ridiculous. And then Son hitting the post in pens as well. Like, this thing was such a roller coaster, and it was fun to be a part of it. And there was some wild moments for sure. And it's cool to have been in the booth with Colin there.
I get up
even the fourth penalty. Even the fourth penalty, it was like, oh, we can, this is it. Vancouver score, and then Lloris saves it. It's like,
it was great that Laborda hit that winner, though. Like, just love Laborda. He gets the he gets the second goal for the Caps in the game, and then he gets that one. And he's so fun in the post game now as well. Like, just learn English in the last couple of years, and he's so comfortable on the mic now. It's awesome to see him.
No way, that's great.
Yeah.
Laporta reminds me of a like one of those soap operas from Latin America.
Yes.
He could be like the leading man. Just put a little
mustache. He does the mustache every once in a while. When he rocks the mustache, it's yeah.
He's like one of the village people, isn't he? He's like one of the village people.
I was gonna say he could just as easily be a plumber. Like, you know how some athletes look like athletes? Like you're doing exactly what you should be doing based on your characteristics and how you look. Whereas he could just as easily be like plying his trade somewhere, whether he's a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician or something, he'd be just as at home. But I wanted to ask you both, you've talked about the energy in BC Place for that matchup against LAFC. Did you feel when it was like that triple doink, like the shot from Bwanga that hit the crossbar, then it bounced around again, and then it was a save and then the post. And did you feel a shift in the building at that point, like after the Whitecaps have been up by 2 goals, then Sun tied it, then they go to extra time, and then they're just hanging on? Did you feel a shift where the belief had always been there, but then all of a sudden everybody was like, this is ours to win, even if it looks improbable at this point?
I mean, I would say that when they hit the crossbar, I think that was the second part of the sequence, if I'm not mistaken, the noise inside the stadium when they rattled the crossbar, you just got a feeling that this was going to be the Whitecaps' night.
Yeah,
I'm going to say it was absolutely amazing. It was like as if the Whitecaps had scored, and it was San Diego that hit the crossbar. Amazing, but you just got that feeling that wow, come on, boys, we can do this, you know.
Yeah, and I think Jeevan Badwell gets the ball right after that on the far side of the pitch and just kind of plays it down the line. And yeah, then there's a roar right after that. But you looked at that group, the 9 men on the pitch for the Vancouver Whitecaps, and you're looking around. It is like Jeevan Badwell, obviously, Edgar Ocampo, Ralph Priso, and you're wondering, like, who are the adults in the room here? Because it's, you know, like, this is what's out there on the pitch. And then you see captain Ryan Gold in the middle of it, like, slotting in absolutely everywhere for the Vancouver Whitecaps. I think that was a big part of it as well, the fact that Goldie comes in late in the game and then puts the shift in through extra time. And that was so nice for the Caps because Thomas Muller had run his race and didn't expect to, couldn't do anything in extra time. Obviously, comes out for those minutes, but you had Ryan Gold leading the way for that group. I think that was a big part of it as well.
I think that's a good point, Asa, because Ryan Gold he's not played a lot of minutes, but the minutes that he has played, he's made a difference. Mm-hmm. You can see that. You know, when he's on the pitch, he's a difference maker. And I mentioned it last week that there's not a club in the league that would not take Ryan Gold on their team. He's such a big influence. And as a DP, I think he's a great example. Same as Thomas Muller, guys, where, you know, I tell our coaches and our players, young players, boys and girls, to come and watch these players just because of their attitude as much as anything else, because it's so positive. They're so, you know, they just do everything so simple and so quickly. And it's a great example for young people and our coaches throughout the country to look at the quality of these guys. But Goldie has been good since he's came on. Obviously, he's not 90 minutes fit, but I'd hope to see him a little bit more, especially on a grass pitch as well. You might think that we might see a little bit more of Ryan this coming weekend.
Before we go, we always let Colin and Asa tell us where to find them, but we know where we're going to find Colin, 17 pints deep at the best watch party in Mexico that I'm a little envious that we're not part of.
Yeah, it's somewhere in Cancun. The commander, she tells me where to go, and we're meeting, two other Scottish couples are flying in, and another Scottish couple that we're great friends with here in Abbotsford. The 8 of us, we've been best of friends for years and years and years, and this holiday was booked over a year ago, and you're thinking, well, end of November, we should be okay in the history.
Ye of little faith,
couldn't believe it.
Oh, I've said many bad words, I can tell you.
quick story about a couple months ago. Just quick story, Wonger. A couple months ago, it was actually in the summer. We're leaving after doing the call for one of the Whitecaps games. We're leaving downtown Vancouver, TD Tower, the radio station, and Colin goes to me. He's like, you don't think that the Whitecaps could actually make a run here and you know, reach the MLS Cup? And I go, Yeah, of course. Like they incredibly Jesper's got everybody firing on all cylinders. You know, Ali Ahmed's having a great season. You got Thomas Muller coming in. This team's incredible. I think they have a great chance of reaching the MLS Cup final. And he just turns and looks at me and goes, "Oh, I've got a holiday booked around that time. I don't know if I'll be here." I was like, "Oh,
you fly back.
Maybe they don't make it. I don't know, Colin."
Incredible.
So if you're looking for Colin,
taking your spot.
Yeah, no,
Dolly. There you go. Paul Dolly.
Oh, Dolly. Okay, Dolly the goalie.
That's right.
There you go. He's great. If you're looking for Colin, once again in Cancun, look for a really red faced fire hydrant holding a pint. That's all yes. I can say. I think that's Cerveza, nice. And that you'll track him down. Asa, where can we find you before the match, up leading up to the match, the day before? What's going on the media side for you?
Yeah, on the socials, as always, on Instagram, at Asa Ray, on X, at Asa Raymon, and looking to do another Beyond the Broadcast article as well on Global BC, so keep an eye out Amazing. For that. And hour-long pregame show as well on 7:30 CKNW, lots of great guests. And yeah, should be another fun call. Hopefully we get Kaylin Kyle again, because she's been good luck for the Caps every time we have her on the pregame show.
Amazing. Just
maybe
a few things.
I should phone in from Mexico. Sorry, Wonger. Maybe I should phone in from Mexico.
That there you go. That's right.
He's feeling left out now, eh?
I thought that's why you were saying the back was seizing up, Colin. You're like, "Oh, I can't go. I got to call the game."
Yeah, I know.
A few things to promo. If you haven't seen the Cruz interview with Sebastian Bearhalter, amazing interview. Lets his hair down as short as it is. Couple other things, like, subscribe, comment. We always appreciate. We're up to 3,700 YouTube followers. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot for us. So please subscribe. Craig and I are going to the draw next week with FIFA. So Craig got invited, and James Duffy from TSN put out, "Hey," did a promo, and I said, "Hey, look for some of the Footy Prime." And he goes, "How'd you get invited? VIPs?" I go, "Well, Craig is. I'm the house boy." So if you remember Fantasy Island with Tattoo, I'm the plus. I'm Tattoo in this whole situation. I'm Ricardo Montalbán. I'm Hervé Villachez. So there you go. One more thing. We haven't mentioned it. And we should mention it. TVO has the pitch, NSL's first year, and a great way to wrap up the NSL season. And our Dubs make some really good points and almost stars in it. She won't say that, but she was really good in it. So find it on YouTube. Yeah, find it's it on YouTube. By the way, and once again, brilliant.
Really good.
Brilliant. And once again, Asa, Colin, thanks for joining us. On behalf of Amy, Jimmy, Craig, Sharms, and JC, I'm Wonger. Thanks for watching and listening to Footy Prime. Have a great day off.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeIG and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.
Up the Caps.
Let's go.
The Caps.
Yeah. Let's go Cancun.
Exciting.